Good evening. Welcome to Westbridge Community Church and happy Easter. We're glad that you are here with us, and we're grateful that you're willing to take an hour and a half out of your busy holiday weekend to get an opportunity to connect with God, the one who is really what this weekend is about. And we are going to try to make that more and more clear throughout the night. And we pray that tonight would be something that you understand, that you come away from tonight saying, I get it. I get it a little bit better than I did on the way in. And that would be wonderful for us to have accomplished that. We are going to do a lot of different things tonight. But the first thing I want to do is let you know what's going on at Westbridge. Just two things I want to bring to your attention, kind of for the church family so they know what's going on. This Wednesday night, we have several small groups that are heading out this Wednesday night into Easton to the Bridge Homeless Ministry. And this is going to be our fuel group, which is all of our kids who are in grammar school, junior high, and high school. They are all involved in the fuel group. They are going to be going to work at the homeless shelter that night. Our women's group is going to be going and helping out that night. And so is our Octane group. That's our college and career group. That's this Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Ms. Kelly will post the address on Facebook, and then you'll know where it is. And if you need, you can certainly call one another. We'll figure out, you know, exactly where it is, but it shouldn't be hard to find in Easton. And we're looking forward to what's going to happen that night. The fuel group was actually working last night on what are some of the things that homeless people might be thinking, and what are some of the things that these people who are there in that position in life, what are some of the things that we need to let them know that they don't know? And maybe some of the answers that we can help them with and how to show them that we love them and want to be a help to them. We were working on that last night. We're very excited about where it's going. The other thing I want to let you know is that our fuel group, all of our kids in school, they have an opportunity May 1st and 2nd to go to the Acquire the Fire Conference. We've been going to this for a lot of years now, at least 6 or 7 years. We've been going to Acquire the Fire, and everybody always comes out back very charged up, and it usually lights a fire that turns into our youth night, where the youth take over the church, and they just run things, and it should have been one of our greatest nights of the year for the past several years. If you're interested in going, we want you to let one of the fuel leaders know, or let Miss Kelly, who is on the keyboard, let her know that you're interested in going. We can make that happen. Now, we've reached a point in our service very early where we want to just let our church family give back to God a small portion of what God has given to them. These are for those who come to Westbridge and consider it their church home. If you're visiting, please keep your wallet in your pocket. God's not interested in your money. He really isn't. He has the whole world in his hand. What he wants is your heart next to his. So if you would just pray with me. Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. And I thank you that we can come to Easter and get a better handle on what it is that you did 2,000 years ago. To be nailed to a cross, laid in the grave, and then on a Sunday morning, to step out of that grave, knowing that they couldn't take your life because you are in charge of all life. And Lord, I pray that you help each of us to get a better understanding of that tonight. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen.
Scars will still remain, and forever they will say just how much you love me. Forever, my heart, forever my life is yours.
Praise our risen Savior.
tears they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love united.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
grateful we serve a risen God, a God who has overcome death. There is nothing that we cannot overcome because you have overcome the world. We praise you, Lord. We lift you up. And we pray that tonight you will help us to learn more of you. Help us to be you to the world. Thank you for this opportunity. Amen. You may be seated.
If you were not with us last week, I'll let you know that we started our Easter holiday last week. We did that by looking at Jesus' crucifixion. And we looked at how that enlightened and gave insight to several people who were actually standing there. Easter really has two enormous movements to it, and they cannot really be separated. First, there is this incredible death that happens, the ending of a life on the cross. But then there's the second movement. There's the resurrection, the beginning of a new life, a metamorphosized life, as we see, an effervescent life. Easter weekend really is the grandest reversal of all emotion. It is nothing that can be bigger than the change that happens over those 3 days. One can get no lower than they do standing at Golgotha watching Jesus being crucified on the cross. And then they can really get no higher than seeing the Son of God walk out of a grave, because they like you cannot take life from God. The whole concept of resurrection really goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. And it's a resurrection and a change that God wants you and me to experience. A life of joy in the midst of everyday pressures is what he's offering. A life of fulfillment that you matter and that your life can make a difference here on earth. A new resurrected life, a life of acceptance, and a life of love inside God's family that's headed up by the perfect Father, the Heavenly Father. God offers this metamorphosis, this resurrection. He offers this life to everyone. And he tells us how it can be procured. God tells us that every person on earth can have this resurrected life by placing their faith in Jesus Christ, by burying their old life in a grave, by starting to walk a new life with him. And that's what we're going to investigate tonight. How to have a resurrected life. Like we said, it all begins with faith. That's where it starts, and you can't get anywhere until you deal with the idea of faith. But faith, as it turns out, can be a pretty tough thing. It's tough because what faith does is it asks us to trust someone else that is, to come through for us. To come through for us on a vital, vital issue in our life. Faith puts all its hope in someone else to do what we really would rather do for ourselves. What makes that so hard, this idea of faith, is that most of us have been burned pretty bad. We've been burned pretty bad by that kind of trust in someone. Most of us have experienced the negative result of faith. That is, placing faith in someone, handing them something valuable, and being totally vulnerable to their actions with it, only to, in the end, get hurt, be devastated, or even harmed when they let us down. That's why faith for us kind of takes on a new definition in our world. Faith for us is different. Instead of trusting intently in something that we cannot see and can't do anything about, we will only trust if we have proofs. We'll only trust if we have signs. We'll only trust if we have corroborations that this is a sure thing. Well, then I'll place my faith in that. If I know it's a sure thing, then I'll place faith in that. Unfortunately, gang, that's not faith. As we'll see.
Jesus, there you are.
Hey, Drew, I heard you wanted to talk to me. What's up, bud?
Yeah. Do you have some water I can drink?
No, I'm afraid not on me.
Yeah, funny. I kind of expected that would happen. Listen, actually, it's what I wanted to talk to you about. Why aren't you doing anything anymore?
Why am I not doing anything?
Lately I just haven't been seeing you do anything. I mean, for example, when Moses and the Israelites, they were in the desert, right? You know, they were hungry, and so what did you do? You gave them manna.
Right, just enough for that day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You met their needs daily, and here I come along, dry throat, and you have no water to give me. How hard is it for you to make water just appear? You're Jesus. Sheesh, you could make it rain or something.
Drew, I'm doing things all the time. You're just not paying attention.
I am paying attention.
Oh my gosh, Drew. I was just at the vending machine, and when I put my dollar in, I got two water bottles. Two for the price of one. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, such a blessing, but I don't really need two water bottles. Would you like this one?
Really?
Yeah, sure. Enjoy.
Oh, wow. Well, what do you know about that? You needed water, and wow, now you really have it. You were thirsty, and now you're not.
Oh, that's amazing. How often is it that someone just walks by with a water bottle?
It is pretty amazing. You needed it, and now you have it.
Huh, I see what you're saying. Where are my manners? Okay. Thanks for the water, Cat! Oh, man. That's so amazing.
Look, I think you're missing part of the equation here.
So, where were we?
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Why aren't you doing anything?
I am doing things all the time!
If that's true, show me something amazing.
Amazing?
Yeah, Moses and the Israelites again. Oh. All right, so here they are. They're on the beach, right? And so what does Moses do? He takes his staff, he slams it in the water because they're in danger, right? Well, the water goes up, and they rush on through, happy as can be. When's something like that going to happen for me?
What do you want me to do, part the water in the bottle?
No, that would be pretty awesome, but no. All right, so for instance, sometimes I'll be driving, and traffic will be backed up for days. Why can't I just slam on my steering wheel, the cars part, and I drive on through? Why can't that happen to me?
That would be pretty cool.
That would be amazing. When can I expect to see something like that?
Keep your eyes open. Amazing things are happening all the time.
Hey, reading lady. Yeah, you dropped your wallet.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Anyway, where were we? That's right. When are you going to show me something amazing?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So I was looking through my wallet, and I noticed you didn't take anything.
Hold up, lady. I ain't no thief, okay?
Exactly.
No, all right. Okay, see, you dropped your wallet, and I picked it up and I gave it to you. Droppy, picky, givey, no takey.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. My license is in here, my credit cards, my money, practically my whole life, and you gave it back, and you didn't take anything, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Okay, well, you're welcome, but it's really not that big of a deal, okay?
You know what? Here. Thank you. Honesty deserves to be rewarded. That's the least I could do.
Well, hold up. This is $20. Do you need change or something? All I did was counteract gravity.
No, really. Honesty deserves to be rewarded. It doesn't happen every day, so thanks.
Wow. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You can drop your wallet by me anytime you want. Jesus, how amazing is that? Do you know how much I needed this $20? Now I can take my lady out for a fancy meal at Taco Bell. Extra guacamole.
That is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, where were we? Oh, that's right. When are you going to show me something amazing? Something big?
Are you kidding me?
No. Here you are, just standing around, I want you to show me something big.
Something big?
No, not big.
Big! Oh, something big!
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, Drew, you'll never believe what just happened to me.
Oh, Kat, I'm glad you're back. I really never got to thank you for that water, so really, thank you.
Oh, yeah, whatever. You know how you've always wanted to see Donnie and Marie on ice, right?
Donnie and Marie? Oh my gosh, they're like perfect together. You put them on ice, boom, now that's amazing.
I know. I have tickets. You can have them if you want them.
You know, you're really rude.
Why?
You know I can't afford those tickets.
No, you can have them for free.
For free, really?
Yeah!
Oh my gosh, Donnie and Marie on ice! That's so great! Why aren't you going?
Oh my gosh, okay, so you know how I gave you the water bottle, right?
Yeah.
Well, right before I threw mine away, I looked underneath the cap, and look! I was an instant winner! I won a trip around the world with you too! Can you believe it?
So, hold on, wait a minute. You're saying you want a trip to go around the world with you too from a free water bottle? Why didn't you give me the water bottle?
I don't know. I didn't even know there was a contest going on. I was about to throw it away before I looked underneath the cap. But I gotta go claim my prize and make my travel plans. I'll talk to you later.
Donnie and Marie on ice, bro! It's awesome! It's big!
Really, Jesus? What? Like, seriously? Who cares?
I thought you would! You're like Donnie's biggest fan, man!
Yeah, I am. But you're changing the subject.
But
you're supposed to show me something big. I said I wanted something big, right?
Uh-huh.
Hello? Around the world with you too? Are you kidding me? That all comes around once in a lifetime. When can something big like that happen to me?
That trip was for Kat, Drew.
Yeah, obviously. Jesus, please, show me something big, man.
Drew, how are you going to see me in the big things when you can't even see me in the little things?
You know, even when Jesus was hanging on the cross, people chided him for proof of who he was. Luke 23:39 tells us this. One of the criminals hanging beside him, Jesus, scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Well, prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. You know, people desire to experience a life that goes from dysfunction to wholeness. Many desire to experience a life that is resurrected from despair to jubilation. But they're unwilling to follow God's pathway to resurrection. A pathway where the first step is placing your faith in Jesus. Hebrews 11:6 tells us this. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Romans 5:2. He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live. And so we boast of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace that we are saved through faith. Gang, if the way to God was by being really, really good for 30 days straight, if that was the way to God, I would tell you that. I would tell you that's the way to God. But it's not. The first step is faith. Being good is not going to get you to God. If you are waiting for God to come and speak to you audibly, you're going to miss God. If, however, you take the pathway that's marked faith and trust that it will take you to God, even though everyone else is going to tell you you're crazy, if you take that road marked faith, you'll find God. George Mueller said this, faith does not operate in the world of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where men's power ends. Are you looking for life to its fullest? Are you looking for a healing? Are you looking for wholeness? Are you looking for truth in a world that seems to have gone crazy? Well, it doesn't cost anything. And there's nothing you need to change inside of yourself to qualify for this. You simply must have faith. Faith enough to release the steering wheel of your life. Let go of that grip that you're holding on to, saying, I'll run this life. And hand that steering wheel over to Jesus. You don't know where he's going. You don't know how he drives. But you're taking faith that he'll get you where you need to go. When Jesus had given up his life on the cross, the Bible tells us this. Joseph of Arimathea took a risk, and he went to Pilate, and he asked for Jesus' body. Now, Joseph, he was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus had already died. So he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. And the officer confirmed that Jesus was dead. So Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph bought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross. He wrapped it in the cloth, and he laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. And then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. At this point, the pain, the agony, the ridicule for Jesus was now over. The soldiers were gone. The frenzy of the event was abating. It was now time to collect oneself and perform a burial. We all know what's going to happen on Sunday morning. But when it comes to experiencing a resurrected life, when it comes to having a resurrected life, you must not ignore or overlook this second step in resurrection. And that is burying the old life. When one comes to Jesus, God doesn't simply take a royal robe and wrap it on your old dirty clothes that have their pockets filled with anger and have pockets filled with lying and hate and deception and pride and self-centeredness. God doesn't throw a robe over that. God says, take those filthy rags off and bury them. Give them a proper burial. Now, I know for me, I am growing a little bit weary these days of going to stores and having them ask me if I have their card. I got to tell you, do you have your card? Do you have the card? Panera, do you got a card? You know, the hardware store, do you have the card? I'm getting a little tired of these cards. I got so many cards in my wallet, I can't sit down in my wallet anymore. Well, for a lot of people, looking for a resurrected life, they think they can just get a card from God, a card that Jesus hands out from the cross. And then they put this new God card in their wallet next to all those other cards that they have cluttering their wallet. But gang, God doesn't work like that. We don't add a God card to the old life we're living. We don't keep doing the things that are causing our life turmoil and dysfunction. We don't just add to that and think that God will now miraculously do things to make everything better as we keep doing the same old things. Your new faith that we talked about, the faith that God loves you and can be trusted, faith that he wants the best for you, it must cause you to go to the tomb. And when you get to that tomb, you've got to throw your old life in it. You have got to have a burial, and your old life needs to be going in there. A life where you trusted in you, yourself, and I to get through, that life has to go. A life that allowed itself to be influenced by wrong voices, that's got to be buried. A life that did what it wanted to, whenever it wanted to, however it wanted to, that has to be buried. Gang, this burial, it's a long process. We stay at it for a long time. I'm still visiting my tomb and throwing stuff in. There are things that God is still showing me today that, Drew, you got to bury that thing. That's old life stuff. It's a lifelong chiseling by God to get that old life and that old heart out. That old way of thinking chiseled out of the life that God wants us.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. Mm. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both.
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Raging wild.
sometimes swollen high. Never have I known this river dry. Deepest part of you is where I want to stay and feel the sharpest edges wash away. And when I close my eyes and feel you rushing, time brings change, and change takes time. And when the sunset comes, my prayer will be just one, that you might pick me up and notice that I am. Just a little smoother in your hand, rolling river God, little stones are smooth, only once the water passes through.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we are getting a better handle on what it is that you want to do. This being born again. We realize that it's going to take faith. And that when we take that faith and then say that we trust you with our life, we trust you with our eternity, that faith will cause us to begin a process of change. Thank you for showing us that there is a grave that the old has to go in, and that the process is going to take a while. Some change will come quick. Some we'll work on for the rest of our life. But thank you that you don't send us through it alone, but that you stand right there with us, see us through it, and give us the power to change. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone, and he sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. Well, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." And the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them. And he greeted them. And they ran to him, and they grasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." I really can't grasp
the power of all that happened that weekend. Even the power that filled the skies, darkness filling the sky from noon on Friday, the violent shaking of the earth when Jesus died, and then the earthquake that took place when the stone was rolled away from the tomb. I wish that I could witness and see that kind of power. A power that brought about the resurrected life of Jesus. But I've seen something else. I have seen through the power that Jesus has changed lives. Lives that placed real faith in Jesus. Lives that I have seen that have chiseling taking place in them. Lives that are walking in this new life that Christ had for them. I have seen that power. Power that makes paupers princes. Power that turns hopelessness into possibility. Power that sees a life that is headed towards a brick wall at 100 miles an hour, turns around to find purpose, to find fulfillment, and to find wonder. I have seen that power, and it shakes the earth today.
It's all about the little things. It's about just doing what's in front of you and doing it the way God would want you to do it. That's what Marty would always say to me, and that's what I never forgot.
All right, Ms. Santos, 5 minutes. Is there anything I can get you?
No, thanks, Tommy. I'm fine.
All right.
I sure hope Marty can make it. It's eternally etched in my mind how she would always beam ear to ear anytime any of us girls did anything well. She always believed in us borrowers. I didn't have any hope at all for any of us girls growing up in the streets of Philadelphia. Well, if you don't know Philly, let me tell you, it's no less tough of a place to grow up than New York or LA or Chicago. Well, I remember the first time I met Marty. There was an open house at the YWCA, and me and a few of my friends decided we were going to go borrow a few things and maybe get some free food, so we went. You know, back then I wasn't known as Ingrid, I was Iggy. Then you also had Crazy Janie, Killer Joan, Fast Ronnie. I don't know how Marty believed in a bunch of girls like us, but she did. Us girls had our guards up big time when we walked into that Y, but Marty just saddled up and treated us like we were normal kids, not outcasts, not thugs, not even the borrowers, as we called ourselves. You see, we used to steal everything back then. Some of us even wrote the borrowers on the back of our jackets. But Marty never seemed to be the least bit taken back by us. She just welcomed us to swim at the Y every day. Now, don't get me wrong, she knew who we were, but she never talked about the wrong we were doing and the life to know where we were living. She just always talked about what could be. She always talked about the possibilities. And she always told us that God gives us little things. And if we do those little things the way God wants us to, then God will bring bigger things. And if I heard her say that once, I heard her say it 1,000 times. Well, we had nothing better to do, so we would swim. And then one day, a few weeks later, Marty tells us about this swim meet. It's a huge state competition. So we started practicing. Right off the bat, Ronnie was the worst of all of us. We started calling her Slow Ronnie. But Marty told her,
Little things first. Proper kicking technique, maximum hand positioning. We swam 4 hours a day for 4 months. And every day during our cool down, Marty would talk to us about how much God loves us and the amazing lives he had planned for us if we did the little things first. But it's kind of hard to do when you don't have much support at home and your social world is the streets of Philadelphia. Well, 4 months later, we went to that swim meet. It was at the State College of Pennsylvania. And I had never in my life seen a campus so beautiful. And Marty must have read my mind, because she leaned over me and said, "You'll wind up here too, Ingrid, one day. Just keep doing the little things right." Well, we walked in there looking like a bunch of vagabonds. In fact, we were the only team in there without matching swimsuits. So Marty pulled us to the side and wrote "The Borrowers" on the back of our swim caps with a giant Ghostbuster symbol through it. Then underneath, she wrote our names: Jane, Joan, Ronnie, and Ingrid. "Be faithful in the little things" was our motto, and I remember how Ronnie said she would shoot any girl that got within 2 lengths of her, so Marty let her have the anchor leg. That day, we swam like girls possessed. And in result of that, we came in first, and the place went nuts, and Marty was beaming her ear-to-ear smile. The Penn State coach himself came up to me and said that I had the second fastest lap time recorded by a woman ever. And a few weeks later, I got a scholarship. Oh, it's Marty. She's here, yes. Oh, and the Borrowers, too, all of them.
You ready, Miss Santos? It's time. And now I would like to introduce you to Raycon Industries' new Chief Financial Officer, Miss Ingrid Santos.
Well, I'm going to finish the rest of my story out there. You see, God's given me a little thing, and I want to do this one right.
Gang, the new life that Jesus has for you is a life that's designed just for you. He will show you where you need to go. He will show you how to establish proper boundaries in your life. He will show you opportunities that he wants you to act on. He will show you new adventures, new horizons, new friendships, new dreams, and new goals. Gang, you have to give up to go up. But what God is taking us up to is better than anything you could ever have imagined. A new life. A resurrected life. Let me ask you, does your life need a resurrection? If it does, join the club. It starts by having faith. Simple, risky, childlike faith. You start at the cross and you accept Jesus' gift of forgiveness for sins. That's where it starts. Then you turn to the tomb and you throw the old life in. You'll visit that tomb a lot on your new journey as God chisels you into his image. Then you begin your walk with Jesus, a walk into a whole new life, a life that he designed for you. It's the life to the full that he says he came to give us in John 10:10. God offers us this, but he doesn't make us take it. He doesn't make us obey him. He doesn't force us into his family. Instead, He asks us to join him. Now, many will walk past the cross. Many will walk past it and say, it's just irrelevant. Others are too proud to accept God's gift. And they decide, I'm going to try to get to heaven on my own. But then there are those who say yes. Those who see their need for God, see that he is the life, that he is the truth, and that he is the way. Tonight, the question is, what will you do with Jesus?
World upside down. If I could be a guest at the wedding and taste wine that was water moments before, would I realize what was really in store? That there would be so much more. Would I fall chance to be closer to the man who might be the one who saves my life? I could hear his voice called Lazarus, stand and stare as my friend stumbles out of the tomb, witness blind and see the first morning sky. But I believe what he says to be true. If I was there the night soldiers took him away, would I flee the scene like most of his friends, then watch on the cross what I thought was. I fall.
I want to ask the worship team to come back, and as we just close out our night, but I ask you to just bow your heads and pray with me for a second. Lord, we thank you that you procured the way for us to have our sins removed, for us to throw away the old life through the power of your Spirit and to walk in a new life with you. And Lord, if there are someone here tonight who hasn't done that, but they know they need to, I pray that they would do that now. In the quietness of their heart, Lord, just simply have them say, I take faith in Jesus. I believe he was the Son of God. I believe he died to take away my sins. And I trust in him as the ticket to my entrance to heaven. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me. Help me to get rid of the old self. It will be hard, but I won't be at it alone. And show me the new life you want me to walk in. Show me the wonder. Show me life to the full. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Why don't we worship God this Easter? Please stand.
Forever I am.
Lives that you've entrusted us with here, help us to use them for what you wanted them used for. And as we give our life to you, you promise we will find our lives. Thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for rising from the grave. And I pray that each of us would truly live a resurrected life. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Easter, everybody. See you next week, 7 o'clock.